welcome to the Magician's After Show. Today we're talking about Episode 2, Heroes and Morons. The quest begins.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Hey!
So, this video is not quite as cool as the song sounds, just forewarning.
Or it could be done ironically, that's my
theory. Yeah, it could be really funny. We're only watching a tiny bit of it. Anyway, you're not here for the music video, you're here for the Magician's After Show. Today we're talking about Episode 2, Heroes and Morons. And yay, the quest is like really starting. I mean, they kind of started last week, but
sure.
Now they're going! They're moving.
They were assigned the quest,
yes.
And now it's beginning.
It's
this
like,
was all the pre-prep before the D&D campaign begins.
Yes. It's like all that boring crap you have to set up before you
actually play. Yeah, exactly. No worse. No one warned you about that. You just think it's going to be a fun quest. You're like, no, bitch, there's work before you get started.
We're ready, we're go. And that stuff. But, my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And go down the line of the awesome panelists here.
What up, y'all? My name is Ty Matthews. Y'all can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA.
Wow. I feel like you're a wrestler come out just slapping the mat, ready to go. I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
So in this video for this music song video thing, they get older. It becomes really interesting. Hi, I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne.
It's deeper than we initially
you
thought.
You see?
Got distracted by the cheap TNA.
Yes.
Anyways.
starting our story.
We should probably tell them what that song is.
Yes, this is called It's a Trip by Joywave. It is listenable, hearable in the orgy scene, which we will talk about shortly.
Yes. But speaking of stories, we have story time. How much did you guys love the art of the beginning? I loved it.
It was very lovely. It's super pretty.
Neat way to change it up, give us some info.
It reminded me a little of the season 2 finale, and it kind of begun in this sort of unconventional kind of method.
Mm-hmm. Also super exciting to be getting into the lore of Fillory.
Mm-hmm.
This is my favorite part of Harry Potter, is the stories within the stories, the stories that make up the people in the world. It's just such a great story building tactic, and it's fun. I hope we get more of it.
Yeah, we get into the beginnings of magic, and I'm excited to see like the you don't like that part.
No, it's that was my agreeing voice.
I'm excited to see the introductions of the Titans. If Prometheus is a hint at that,
that's true.
Old gods.
We get the hint at the After Island, the blank book, and like what perils await everybody. And then we have Josh's cute line that the quests are not solo ops. And we were talking about a little bit before, and I agree. I want the team to get together sooner. We were a little we don't want them apart because it's fun when they're together.
They feed off each other well.
Exactly, they're so good. So speaking of Josh, we have Q, Julia, and Josh at the beginning. They're trying to look for Mayakovsky because they feel he's the one who has the batteries. Make you a scene, and you just find him on YouTube.
Can I pause this for a second? So they got the clock. What does that mean? What are they? I know what the clock is, but does it hold magic
transportation
still?
To Fillory.
No, it's just once they have magic, they can use it as a way to get to Fillory.
Copy. So they need a battery to power the clock to get to Fillory.
Yeah, exactly.
Bet.
Yep.
Also, and we've never heard of Castle at the End of the World or After Island is an island that
we hear about at the end of
last
episode.
Episode.
But
Castle, no.
The story.
Okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember which one we heard of. And then I thought for a minute that maybe one of the islands they were talking about in the book is one of the islands
that's the island that that Elliot goes
Thank
to.
Thank you. Yes. Okay, good. On the same page. Just wanting to make sure.
Yeah. Then we have the Hedgewig Bar and the Misha. It's Joe, Russia, Bear. Nice, like, their deduction.
That bear is a dick is my favorite line so far.
That bear was a
bear. That's how we know.
The way they broke up all the points, point one, I was like, this is so great.
Mm-hmm. then we hop over to Fillory, and we have they're going to have the ship, the Muntjac, and they're going to collect taxes, quote unquote. How do we think of that lie? What do we think of it?
The lie?
Brilliant.
Well, they're going to collect taxes so the fairy doesn't know what they're doing.
I don't know. I felt like for as much as the fairy's known so far, I feel like she would be able to see right through that pretty easily.
Well, okay, but they're for real out of money.
That's true.
So that's... And and you do need money to try to keep your kingdom going. It's a very human system to work off of.
Sure. But we had, I think...
Where's the hole? I'm just looking for the hole.
I feel like we had worked so hard to establish that the fairies could not be so easily deceived in episode one.
Well, I don't think...
When they knew instantly exactly what he was trying to do to them last time.
I don't think they're being deceived. Mm. I think it's something where they're playing a long game and they understand that, you know, they're still... Elliot and Margot are still... king and queen, and so there's certain things that they say to their people, and the fairies kind of want to just oversee things and pull the reins when they can. So
well, and on top of that, they throw the largest possible wrench into the plan, which is not just that I'm sending a scout, but hey, it's potentially your aged up daughter, which here's your crazy wife is gonna love this.
Right, exactly.
Like, and you have to take your wife.
Log petting.
Yeah, it's basically sending a distraction for Elliot but even though they end up being helpful in the end, but like calling her frail human and being like, P.S., it's your daughter. P.S., we call her Frey. No big deal. That's my voice coming back through me. But no, I thought it was very perceptive on the Fairy Queen's part, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Do we think she actually is their daughter? I mean, undecided.
I loved how they talked about the trope of aging people overnight.
Yeah.
It's very much like a soap opera trope to do, where all of a sudden Samantha's child from last year is now 16.
In Gotham.
But Samantha has not aged. So I watched Days of Our Lives, yes. I would like to think that they would just be like, we're going to put this pun in and then also just still make her the actual daughter. But it would be savvier, I think, to actually not make her the daughter.
Right.
2 points to make. One, yes, absolutely. Would prefer either A, not be the daughter, or they throw me another twist I did not see coming. I hope it's not so straightforward. It's magicians. It's probably not. Her mannerisms are very Elliot. Like, tone of voice, complete dismissal, that kind of very close guardedness. Mm. So I'm curious if she's not their daughter, if, like, has she studied them? Does she, like, what is her objective then, other than to report back to her queen? Although she did seem very genuinely eager, and she does seem human. We haven't seen fairies do a lot of morphing into other things here. Sure. I don't think traditionally fairies are able to morph or turn into other things, so... it'll be interesting. We'll see. Also, Renji, I appreciate your bear emoji, purple eggplant emoji. it made my whole life, and I plan to use it with the gays. So,
by the way, we do have a live chat, so if you are watching this with us live, thank you so much. We have the chat up, and if you're watching it later, please comment down below, because we love to hear your thoughts on the episode as well. Carmen, good point. Babies are plot poison most of the time.
Yes.
Yeah, though Wynonna Earp does a really good job of
Dawn.
That.
Dawn.
Vampire Slayer. Right.
Yes. That was true. Renji, yes. Loved it when Elliot and Margo pointed out the cliche, practically Deadpool level fourth wall break.
I feel like we're going to be getting a lot of those. We're going to be getting a lot of meta.
Oh, so smart.
Like, I mean, they started the nerd conversation in episode one. I'm hoping it just never stops. I'm hoping every episode we get deep cut
references. I was like, thanks for spoiling Battlestar people who are super late to Battlestar.
No, that's too much.
I read the subtitles. I was like, okay, she's a sleeper agent. Good to know that.
Well,
it's my bad for being a decade behind.
It's all right. I stopped like at four when they went in the split season.
Don't spoil it anymore.
I didn't spoil anything. They did a split season in four. That's all. Okay. They just did like a, like Vikings. We did a halfway break, and you're like, why?
I feel like we're those annoying people who are like, never talk about it.
No,
Tune in next week to the Battlestar Galactica after show.
Guys, we're nerds just like the people in the show.
We're talking Edward James Olmos.
Right. So actually, though, speaking of weird things, though, we have that construction dude, and what do we think that is?
Oh, it's the Libra.
It's
the little child we saw from last season that Alice, like, killed that part of her, but there's still more to her, and that part possessed him.
Yeah. It was very much how it
Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Like, the one with Donald Sutherland.
I was going to say Donald Sutherland.
That, like, sucks onto the...
Y'all
don't know nothing about that 90s.
You should watch the original and skip that 90s.
Yeah, it was really bad, but still, it was terrifying for a five-year-old me.
Who let you watch that at five?
My father.
Love.
Obviously. Fair. Why do you think I'm on this panel right now?
Yeah, I got Starship Troopers at 4. Yay. I feel you.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. So we got Q, Julia, Josh, and Katie. They bring her in because they're trying to do their research and find
Katie
stuff.
Katie is pissed. She has not forgotten.
Yeah. Well, they're like, well, you That's can fair. Help Penny. Come on, girl.
I mean, it was a season-long arc of hunting down Richard slash
Renard.
Mm-hmm. And so I feel her. I mean, that was her whole season arc last year.
Right.
She's like, we've had a whole year to kind of forgive
Julia for that.
Well, also, Julia made the right call if you want to think about it. Like, what you did not need was two pissed off gods, okay?
That's true.
Look at what one did.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's why she has magic now, is because she did not kill Reynard, and because of what Persephone gave her a little bit of
oomph. We were talking about that last week of why we think she still has it. So you'll go more with she's god touched.
Got touched by either Reynard or by Persephone. Yeah. It's one or the other.
Sure.
It's
very possible. I still think that girl worked her ass off to learn magic when she didn't have anything. Mm-hmm. Well, and I wonder if it's a little bit of just herself.
Some
people
in
the chat, in the comments, were like, especially because the book's a little bit different, too. Which, this is about the show, not the book. And I started with the book, and it started being so different that I'm like, I'll come back to it later. Because we've had some people comment, which thank you, though, for reaching out about that. So we find out about the other girl Mayakovsky was with at the bar, Emily. Throwback to her coming back.
Right.
I missed crazy Emily.
She is so
nutty, but she is fun.
And they got married, and the question
ring was too big.
Emily has
that's how you knew it wasn't thought out. I was like, that ring's way too big.
Emily needs to have some self-respect.
That poor girl.
You do not want to marry this man that literally derailed your entire life. Mm. Oh, girl.
She's been drunk for a week.
What was that thing she said about how he broke the pact?
Oh, because he I don't know. I know it was he was able to leave, but I don't know what the pact
was. What was that about?
There was another
line. Thought maybe that tied into Lipson.
Leave comment down below or join us in live chat what that pact was. That's a good question. Because for some of us, I'm like, I didn't get a chance to rewatch last season or so, and then you go, wait, what?
I actually kind of randomly ended up watching it.
Oh, like, nice.
During Christmas.
It's on Netflix if you need to tell your friends to join this wonderful show, this fandom. Then there's another woman at the bar, the mystery woman. Were we surprised when we find out who that person later is?
Yeah.
I really didn't have any bets on who it might be.
I saw a trailer where they featured her.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew when he got up to the roof that, it's that professor.
Yeah.
I did not think that she was having a relationship with Mayakovsky, who lives in Antarctica.
Right.
I like that she is the brains behind
Mayakovsky. I was about to say that, but kudos to making her the brains.
I'm not going to lie, y'all. I feel like I have, like, professor blindness when it comes to this show. I feel like we've seen, like, 7 professors, and I couldn't name one of them.
Well, it's her.
I remember her.
And then the blonde one that flirted with Penny last year.
So for other people who have professor blindness.
Like I thought she was more like an advisor.
No, she's the one who comes through and, like, she teaches, but she also was the one and told Penny he had cancer.
Yeah.
She's
one he flirted with.
Oh, the blonde one, but she's also a teacher.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
But right technically, we've only seen 4, including Dean Fogg and that guy who died.
I was going to say, there's somebody who died. Yeah.
And Mayakovsky,
so 5.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there the lady Dean was sleeping with?
But she was not a professor anymore.
That's right, okay.
Ex-professor.
So there's actually not that many teachers.
That we've actually seen, yes. But yeah, go her for being the one who's, like, behind it all. And smart enough to know that this day would come. I'd be curious how she knew this day would come. We didn't really get into the, how did you know?
The end of the world's going to come someday.
Well, she made it sound a little bit more like she had a better timeline.
She had it pinned down on
she
a calendar.
Knew it'd be
you know,
her
it's
lifetime.
Like those people who are super prepared for earthquakes. Yeah.
Was she the one who was doing predictions? Because we definitely had a teacher who was like doing premonitions and things.
Then that would make more sense that she would know more specifically that it was coming like within their lifetime.
So it seems like a very chaotic situation as to how we lost magic. Like who was predicting that Quentin was going to piss off and kill a god?
You know.
Right.
If you think about how they've been through the, I don't know, that's reaching. Never mind. I was going to say something about the time loop. actually, yeah. You could.
This point, nothing's recent, really.
Well, like how they were in the loop for 40 mm-hmm. times, and how certain people were aware of the loop.
Oh,
and,
sure.
I like the possibility that one of the ways out was to kill a god, and like what that would mean.
But didn't the time loop close after they killed?
Yes.
Umber?
The time loop closed after the Jane died.
Yes.
Which is why the last one we saw was had to be the last one.
Okay, cool.
But that's not to say, we only know that Dean was aware of the loop, but that's not to say that maybe other professors had an idea.
Then we get an Emily call back, and she had the other battery,
mm-hmm.
and then your friend came to get it, and for a second I actually thought it was Alice. And then
I think that's what we all kind of thought.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Katie. Yes, of course, because she's saving Benny.
Then right.
Like, that's sad, and him dying, and we're not quite to predictions, but do we think with that magic she can actually do something with the book she has?
Yeah.
I mean, it would surprise me if she couldn't at least, well, it's twofold because it's magic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'll
bite her in the butt.
Definitely bite her. But the thing is, it doesn't seem to be very self-centered. I mean, she's trying to save the guy she likes a lot, but also... It's like
it's
not
a monkey's paw situation. Like, she might save him, but at what cost?
Well, it's also like
that. And then what kind of life can he lead? Because he's still a librarian.
Yeah.
Right.
They do that whole episode.
Do you know?
So many things are happening.
Sorry, we talked about this last week. They mentioned that travelers aren't exactly human.
Oh, that's right.
Did you catch that?
They kind of hinted at that.
Oh.
And then
when Penny was tied up in Homeboy's basement, what have you, Penny heavily implied, like, different things can present themselves as human before kind of Mama went out of there
via teleportation. I thought he just did that just to freak him out, just so he can get the book and then run.
It could be.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I think there's something about... just the fact that this is kind of a spin-off, in a sense, of Harry Potter, that any of the magicians aren't necessarily human.
Right. I guess it depends on your definition
of
human.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Magic practicing humans.
What was I going to say, though?
Yeah.
Shit.
But what I'm wondering...
I'll come back.
Sorry.
We'll come back to that, hopefully. Yeah. What I'm wondering is, if Penny, quote-unquote, dies mm-hmm. and is brought back somehow, does that nullify his... librarian
contract?
Duty.
Oh, that'd be nice. Like, if there's a way to kill him and bring him back.
Right.
Because they said if you were living or dead. Because that was the whole point, was that they're like, well, we know you've died before, so that's why it's like living or dead.
Oh.
Oofa doofa.
Good memory.
We tried it.
Damn.
Oh, my beans.
It was worth thinking about.
Yeah.
We go,
I also watched, like, season 1 and 2, like, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
I'm not that special. Go ahead.
No. So then we have Elliot and Pic. Oh, he's just so adorable.
Tick.
Tick. Pick or Tick, right?
No, it's Tick.
They call him Pick, too.
Yeah.
I don't think they do.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Tick?
I saw Tick.
Yeah, they called him Tick this episode.
Well, Pickwick if they just short it. Well,
mm-hmm.
Either way.
We got that.
That dude.
Pickwick.
Got it.
Works with
friend
him.
Of the show.
Yes. And the Moonjack. And it's a boat made out of sentient trees.
First of all, Sudoop.
Yeah.
Second of all, 3 score. Had to look it up. So curious. Never knew what it was. Score is just 20. So it's 3
mm-hmm.
times 20. You guys are smart. Okay, I didn't know. I had to look it up.
I just remember when we learned that in like 10th grade.
No one ever informed me. So 60 people can be on this boat.
And I do like...
it's like
I like
the TARDIS.
Of the sentient... trees and the heartwood, it has a personality of its own.
Mm-hmm.
So when Tick is trying to think of the word,
yes.
Oh my god,
so
it's the ass
trench,
ass ditch,
the ass grave, the ass ditch.
Oh, no, asshole.
There we go.
So good.
Oh my god,
Rizwan Manji. There we go. Shout out.
I'm looking forward to the boat throwing a temper tantrum.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm curious how often this boat has been used. That it's like, I can do my job. This is what I've been built to do.
Mm-hmm.
That it's
right.
excited. Like, you know, it's like a service dog. Like, that's their job.
Right.
They're excited to do
ancient,
their purpose.
And we do know that all the kings that have tried to get over there have drowned.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if the boat's like, look, I've done this and it does not work. Mm. Follow me.
And they mentioned that it's happy to see them. So
yeah, it's
that's what kind of made me think
with
that,
the,
oh.
Admiral Lackard, which we get like three lines from him.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
He's the black Canadian actor that's in everything.
Awesome.
I was going to say I recognized him.
Because he's in everything. He was in Eureka for a bit. He's usually always a soldier or a sergeant. Think about it.
Apparently there he has that look.
Think about all the shows you know that shoot in Canada. You've seen him.
There's a lot of them.
Except for CW shows because well, he's too old. But.
A lot of sci-fi shows shoot in Canada. Mm. Well, yeah. I hope we have more of him because I thought he was an interesting character. Mm-hmm. And then speaking of another character, we have, I wrote it down. Yeah, Bingle. When I first saw they called
Captain
him Bingo.
Singh from The Flash.
Bingo.
Like,
the
Bingo.
Mute Swordsman Bingo.
And the Swordsman, who's interesting that I'm like, I hope we get more. Because you could actually have a lot of character development with somebody who doesn't talk, too.
Oh, yeah.
So
I was wondering why Captain Singh had grown a beard. I talked about this earlier. And now I know why. Because he's doing double duty on The Flash and The Magicians. I'm proud of you, actor. Make that money, okay?
No, and it's nice when you see characters and actors that you've seen on other shows. And you're like, oh, yay, you're on this one that I love, too. Mm-hmm.
And then even the Father Joe.
Okay,
Father Poe,
he played some crazy metahuman like season two of The Flash.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I was wondering what you recognized.
Yeah, I was like, well, at first I thought he was the Niffin priest, and then when I got when he came up, I was like, sure. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have Margo and Elliot with their little pep talk, and what's the difference between a hero and a moron? One dumb decision.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to Margo of that little lip quiver. I felt it. I was like, no. Like, yeah. She's not going to show emotion. Because it's like, no, she can't. Mm-hmm. Needs to be her strong diva self.
Mm-hmm.
Their love is real. Yes. And her eye patches just keep getting better. The black lace with the gold over it was just, it was wonderful.
She does seem pretty infatuated with Bingle. Do we think that'll come back?
Oh, yeah. She was checking him out.
Oh, yeah,
she's
for
like,
sure.
Hey.
She also said she hadn't had sex in 2 months. So.
Also that.
Yeah.
Also
she's
that.
She's kind of.
And now she's nerdy because she hasn't had sex, apparently. She's like, what are you trying to say?
That is not a thing you can turn on and off with sex.
Well, she could say that, but it's like, hey now. Yeah.
You've been watching Battlestar before you got here.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. We saw your whole conversation last week.
She read the books of Game of Thrones.
That was when you were getting regular dick.
She told Elliot to read Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you
and he just read the Cliff Notes pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see you.
Then we find out about the strange magic going around town. Did we have any theories of what was going on? But when they first started saying that, did you guys think of what we're
going to
see?
I thought this was someone trying to jumpstart magic going to like the roots of magic and trying to do like old spells and like very kind of classic magic. I was okay with what actually happened, but I was excited. I was like, oh man, maybe like a coven of rogue witches is like, nope, we got this. Don't worry about it. People in the park, have sex. Go.
Boom.
Everyone's fucking.
I was a bit annoyed that she just decided to be like kind of wasteful with magic because she was pissed off at some dude.
Okay, let's define wasteful with magic, though.
No. I'm not saying that it wasn't beautiful to see those kids, like, see that dinosaur and all that kind of stuff.
But
at the same time, like,
well, she even
magic
says it
no
herself.
Longer exists.
Right. And when we're used to magic on the scale of, like, saving the goddamn universe, having some people have sex in a park and, like, having some kids see a dinosaur they drew is kind of small potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Well, she even says it herself that she's like, I hope he knows that I wasted the last of this because of him.
Yeah,
she
and that's the thing. I was like, don't be petty over no man. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, listen, Mayakovsky probably can't hit it that well, okay? I'm just saying.
Girls,
like,
let's talk.
Like,
we
don't be wasting magic.
Now that the show is uncensored, this show is uncensored.
Yay! So let's leave fuckboys alone in 2018.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. What you don't need is a Mayakovsky in your life. You don't need, like, a drunk dude who's going to tell you what to do, take credit for all of your hard-ass work, and then leave you for some new chick. Like, this is ridiculous.
Some new chick whose life you already ruined.
Right, yes. Yeah, you're an educated professor. Girl, like, you have anybody at you look good. Thank you.
I'm just saying,
ridiculous. No fuckboys 2018.
Definitely could have just, you know what? I give kudos to Emily for actually using the magic and being like, I'm gonna turn you into a bear
because this is all you are.
And the only reason I didn't kill you is because you're my husband, but still, girl, divorce him, leave him as a bear, take him to the New York Zoo, and call it a day.
And the professor looks at him, and I'm like, she's intelligent, she's still attractive woman, like, there's nothing...
Oh, shit!
I just got so...
Nailed it!
Oh, my
late. It is late.
That's why we have Patreon.
Anyway, that's a party. I was like, what's wrong with you? You can find somebody else.
Exactly. We're getting it. It's late.
Bear with us for a moment, if you will. Oh, there's Steve. Steve, everybody. Steve, our valiant producer.
There we go.
It happens once a season, and you have to value it every time it comes around. It's
well,
a magical
at least it's
moment.
Well, just water.
Getting it out of the way right up top. Right up top.
Anyways, thank you guys for tuning in.
Oh, yes. I'm just looking at Carmen's comment. When Julia was about to join the orgy,
I was like,
yes, Julia, have a healthy sexual experience.
Yes.
You need right now.
Later.
But yeah. That might not be the time.
I mean, not right then, obviously.
Well, it's like any horror movie.
Healthy sexual.
Yes, I think we should. Oh, thank you, Randy. Yeah, never want a boy who doesn't want you. There you go. Or lady, whatever your preferences are.
Yeah, exactly.
Though on the ship, it was interesting. I kind of felt bad for Fenn when Frey was sleeping, that like how she really just wants to connect with this character who may or may not be her daughter, and asking Elliot, like, don't you know, don't you feel it? And he's like, I want to. Mm. And that was an interesting...
Saving it for predictions.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, that was kind of like, I felt bad for her. Like, poor... Oh, yeah. I feel bad for Fenn if she's just going through so much and has been psychologically traumatized like no other.
Yeah, she's going through some shit right now.
She was burping a log. I was really concerned for my
girl.
She's
got no toes. She's got a wooden foot.
Also,
You can get through life with a wooden foot. Many of our ancestors after wars had to do it.
That's not a judgment. I'm just saying she's got a wooden foot and she's walking around carrying a log like it's her baby.
Yep.
She's gone through some stuff.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree with you. I have such mixed feelings. Like, because on the one hand, I just want Fenn to have like a normal life. Like, she deserves to just have a happy, peaceful existence.
At this point, yeah.
We've also felt bad for her to be with Elliot because Elliot isn't the most suitable partner for her.
Mm-hmm. I have started to change my mind on this.
Well, he's getting there. He's on an arc of his own.
We kind of talked about how he may not be physically attracted to her, but he
loves her.
He doesn't have romantic love for her, but he does have like grand platonic love for her. And I think their relationship is really sweet in the, like, arranged marriage kind of, like, look, we didn't choose each other, but we found a way to, like, live together and create a home together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just want Fenn to have all the things.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. Exactly.
She deserves that. I need the role.
Yes. Thank you, Carmen. Carmen's like, I think you guys need more paper towels. I know, right? It's we're sinking. It was the ship sinking, and we're like taking care of the water. I don't think that's
she did it. It's good.
But now we have a puddle.
Oh boy.
So So we get to the after island, and we have the Father Poe. Did any of us believe the monster was real? Because we never really saw it. It was just this shadow thing.
No, definitely not. I'll say this. I thought when they started talking about, like, the monster or something like that, I thought this was going to be, like...
A quest?
No. Okay. I never saw The Village, but I'm going to compare it to the Village movie I've never seen. I thought they were, like, going to be referencing, like, something completely innocuous that, like, they thought was a monster, but really
like
was
just... Like it's a
fluffy
bunny or something?
Yeah, some shit like that. Exactly. Exactly.
So they don't who's never seen The Village, you have pretty spot on. I mean,
that's what
you know.
I gathered from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I was curious because I was like, okay, we don't see it. It's just this shadow something. It's the one dude out there. Mm-hmm. I just kind of wanted more information because later I'm like, yep, the monster's Poe. But we never really got why. I mean, he gets the power of taking over, but did we get ever, like, how this started? Why he kills?
I think it's kind of like when you get, it's like any kind of... If they set it up to kind of be like a commentary, and I don't know if they've been thinking this far, of like those leaders who just want the people to follow them, like the guy who made his entire group of his congregation drink Kool-Aid and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's just mainly just to have that power and to have people who don't want to leave the island.
That's what I thought, yeah. As soon as this guy found out that he could create this illusion magic, he's like, hang on a second. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got an idea.
46 years, 3 months, and 7 days without paying their taxes. I need this plan for my student loans.
And it's all, like, I felt like the indictment of organized religion here was a little bit heavy-handed with, like, even the tax, the kind of tax exemption sort of allegory here.
I didn't even think of that. That's very smart. Show is smart. It sure is. Actually, a good point. Renji in the chat says, Finn could probably deal with a sexless marriage, but not a loveless one.
No, no way. I feel like, yeah, she would...
Well, I would hope Elliot would be like, you can hook up with someone else.
Right, oh, no, yeah.
I think he'd give her permission. It's like, he's, it's okay. Because he has.
He would, yeah, he would like... Yeah.
He'd be like,
he's not really excited about it.
I mean,
like,
let's not forget that Elliot is married to a man as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like,
it's also true.
Which,
also
when are we going to see? Well, they've kind of, the fairies have said the husband is busy in the other place.
Yeah, and also he's probably on a different TV show.
Yes.
He works.
There's also that.
And I
the
do.
The much more practical.
So, village justice, do we approve? I thought that was really smart, though, of like, I'm not going to kill the dude. Let you all do it.
Right.
When he throws the dagger of like, there you go.
I mean, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Total retribution, fairness.
Well, also, you kept us here for 47 years away from other people where we lived in fear every other day, like just on your whims.
And leading, like, obviously your lies leading to people dying, leading to people's friends, family, loved ones dying.
I mean, he's killed people off, like, what, once a day?
Right, exactly. to enforce,
like,
that illusion.
Population curb control. Sheesh, that's like a bit much.
Yeah.
Downfall of a dictator. It was nice.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We have poor Alice when she joins the group. We have the exploding kitten. This show,
I do not feel bad for Alice.
Cancer puppy. We've had the rabbit get ripped open.
This is Jesus kitten.
And now we have the exploding kitten.
Mm-hmm. Listen, you can't. I'm a cat lover. Okay, you can't kill a gray Maine Coon. You can't kill puppies in front of me either, or rabbits, even though rabbits taste good. But I'm just saying, like, killing a gray Maine Coon, man, a little baby one too, a little kitten,
5 months old,
and I knew it was gonna die.
Of course.
It's interesting that she needed such a young cat, because they said 8 months and she was like too old.
Too old.
I mean, 5 months.
Well, they also gave her something as the alarm, and we thought it was, what did we think it was? Remember the vampire gave her something? But this cat seems to be the alarm.
I thought he
alarm.
Said you need an alarm.
I think that's what it was.
He was saying, whatever she had, no
longer
worked.
He didn't give
her
anything. He was just showing her something on a phone.
Got it. Yeah. Oh, because we didn't get to see what it was. Right. Yeah. Showed her the cat.
Baby cat.
So she went and got, and I guess because the cat's young, like, I don't know if you come from a Southern Baptist family, but I do. But apparently there was a belief in the Southern Baptist tradition that children could still feel spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And so by being young and still close to heaven, in a way, you could still feel it. So maybe that's why, kind of like a weird theory of like why it had to be a kitten, because a kitten could notice more than an older cat.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Their I'm just pulling that out of my ass.
Well, or, you know, as they get older, their senses get dulled, so then they can't tell as much. Mm-hmm. And animals sense other things than humans do.
It's basically a canary in the mine. It was so much blood inside of that thing.
There was a lot of blood
for a tiny kitty.
R.I.P. Hester.
Also, I really enjoyed them trying to explain this to the cop right next to them. Sorry, officer, our friend's cat was sick and exploded.
Spontaneous combustion? Spontaneous explosion?
As a police officer, don't you feel obligated to be like,
It wasn't like anyone murdered the cat.
No, they saw that it just
exploded.
Yeah. Right.
And then, but I love how nobody noticed that a guy immediately followed the guy who got possessed by the
That's what I'm saying. I saw him and I'm like, where did we see him again? I'm like, oh yeah, he was following them. Because I think he was at the orgy place too.
No, he was at the construction site before.
Well, construction, and then is it the...
He's at the hospital or wherever. Yeah, he's at the hospital when they're taking Miss Lipson away.
There we go. That's what
after the cat explodes, Alice runs away.
Yes.
And then you see a guy in the uniform falling behind her. Which is weird that he didn't catch her.
Yeah. Well, she had enough of advance warning. Is the idea?
I guess.
This is a question for those of you who've read the book. Is it literally exploding kitten? in the book because this is very interesting timing with the game Exploding Kittens, that I'm like, that's pretty cool if the book wrote it like that, and then it's cool if they updated it like that.
I was really hoping that it was just a reference in the show to Exploding Kittens.
That's, I think both could work.
If Exploding Kittens makes a card for this, I will die with happiness. So great.
I think it's just parallel thinking. So many people thinking of killing cute little animals all at once.
Please stop.
You
know. Okay. I mean,
just shows them out, guys.
No, wait, have they only been doing about one person?
One a season. But so if you need to, you can bring back Taylor Swift references. Just stop killing animals.
I'm down for that.
Yes.
Like, I personally can't stand a Taylor Swift reference. But if you think that's what you need to do.
They can't afford it. They were talking about how expensive that was.
More animals. Yes.
Oh, that's true, huh?
Yeah. But we did get
every time you mention Taylor
again.
Swift, do you have to pay her? Is that what's happening? Why is it expensive to mention Taylor
her
Swift?
Music.
No, the songs. To use the songs. Yeah. They mentioned at Comic-Con that was so much to pay for that they're like, let's not do that.
It was still amazing.
This is probably a dangerous precedent to set.
It was so good.
Right.
I mean, you can't even use her music like on a YouTube video. She'll come for you.
Yeah, Taylor's serious about it.
Speaking of coming for them, we got Quentin gets tracked down by the weird construction dude, and it's passed off to him.
Possessed.
Well, after chapter two begins writing itself,
it's moving his bag and everything. I was all excited. I'm like, did we get another flying book?
That's exactly where my mind went.
I don't think it came after him because of chapter two starting.
I don't think so. Just followed.
Happened
him.
To be convenient.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it's just coincidental timing. Mm-hmm. But the question is, what does that mean? How much does it control you? Like, are you? Can you fight it?
It sounds like it goes directly into your brain, judging by how it up his neck.
And then that visual for next time it's in the neck. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so gross.
I don't like it.
Any other thoughts of anything we didn't cover before we get to predictions?
She is huge for a 2-month-old is also a great line.
Yes.
I like living metal.
Oh, that was adorable when they're sending her, like, scolding her and how much they enjoy doing that.
How much she enjoyed. I really feel like Elliot's like, this is so surreal, and I'm also on a quest.
Right.
Yeah. And magic is. I feel like Elliot looks like he should be drunk and can't find a drop of liquor anywhere.
Yes.
Like he looks so exhausted and just like, this is a lot of pressure. But I love what Elliot has become. Like,
He
is by far and away, I think, some of the greatest evolution of characters on this show. Quentin is getting there. Not
very
quite there yet for me. I need more Penny. This one scene business has got to stop. I need like 3-4 full arcs.
Yeah, it's weird.
A full
that they
arc
don't
for Penny would be nice.
Know how to use Penny.
He's always just sick or dying or angry and off somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can I get Penny as a part, like a main player in the group, like front and center with his own storyline?
With his own magic.
Yes.
Not without hand problems. Not, you know.
Not without super
cancer. Well, because Katie, as I recall, wasn't really even in the book, and Penny's character was not as big of a character. So, at least he made him a little bit bigger, but I agree that it's like, he's such a cool character. And you're like, let me just get out of here a little bit. And you're like, no?
Right.
More?
Yeah.
Hopefully this is ramping up to something big this season.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything else? Are we ready for predictions?
We said the ship was cool. No, we're good. We're good. Yeah.
Predictions!
Yeah!
Whee!
And now, you're
I do not like Renji's prediction of a teacup pig exploding. That is not okay, Renji. No one asked for that.
An exploding teacup pig.
Teacup pigs are the cutest. Why would
it's the teacup pig.
That's exactly the point. Because, you know, it's so cute.
Oh,
like,
man.
First it was that real
cancer puppy was so,
so cute.
And yet I still
and that little rabbit was
it
so
was
cute.
Yeah.
And the kitten was so cute. Oh, I love teacup pigs, guys.
One of my absolute favorite comedians and podcaster, Duncan Trussell, used to constantly do impressions of a tiny little teacup pig.
How do you do it?
It was just a very...
Like how it makes
it was
noise?
A very bizarre voice. No, it was a very... It was a very weird,
like,
weird,
they
weird
make
comedian.
Noises?
No.
Okay.
It was a whole character.
So you had an exciting prediction. You wrote it down. So
as we're talking about fairies and their folklore and babies. So fairies are very much known for stealing babies. Like, that is kind of how they came into existence. And in the literary world, is they were, you know, thought to steal and corrupt children.
And
only
women.
Children could see them in some traditional stories. And one thing that they're super known for is changelings, which are basically like fairies. They implant, I don't know if they're like implanted
what,
in
no,
bodies
they
still, or...
Because I listened to The Lore
the
podcast.
The Lore, that episode.
Yeah.
And they, what they do is, what the belief was that they would steal your children or members of your family and replace them basically with a copy. And so that was the changeling. And so that's why they would go and do like crazy crap. If you had like all of a sudden you felt like liberated as a woman, they'd be like, yeah, it's a changeling. I gotta set your body on fire. Mm-hmm. And if you live, then you're a changeling. And if you die, then you were a human.
Sorry, we killed you, but we needed to know.
Yeah. That's a very frustrating and good episode of The Lore, which you can watch on Amazon.
I listen to on iTunes.
And for people in LA, recommend the listening.
They brought that episode to life in the Lore attraction that was done up in downtown LA.
That's
awesome. Mm-hmm. It's very cool stuff.
So it could be that we're dealing with a changeling here.
Possibly.
Which would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. But then where did she come from unless she did age differently?
Well, fairy time is also very different.
Yep. Yeah.
So because to me there was something. And I could be misreading it, but honest in the Fairy Queen's description of what was happening, she to me seems the kind of all knowing that would easily miss something small. Mm. You know what I mean? Like the kind of all knowing that's like, yeah, no, I've covered all of my bases, so there's no possible way. What the hell was that?
She sees such a big picture that there's one little thing that she misses. I dig that.
Okay, going... And
probably the love of the child for the parents.
I was going to say, going off of that, I would like to make the prediction that that child is their child, but is completely brainwashed because this is not the people she grew up with. But in being around them and experiencing love, as the way Fen put it, like, this girl hasn't experienced love, she will flip and join their cause.
I like it.
Yeah.
That was about, that's like the only super one I had.
Oh boy. God, y'all.
chat room's agreeing with changeling thought. Cameron says a copycat baby or a piece of enchanted wood, according to legend. Interesting.
I don't know. I think I'm going to go small. I'm just going to say that, like, we're going to hear Bingle speak, and it's going to be super, 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 like, revelatory somehow in, like, a fucking, like, Silent Bob kind of way.
Yes.
I don't know. Something.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going with.
I think the Libra?
The Lamprey?
A Libra. They're just as horrible.
You know.
Kidding.
Shots fired. Don't get on Libras here on the Magician's
Why?
After
Why? My heart.
I think the whatever that thing is going to get close to Alice through Quentin. And I don't know what it wants to do to her, though. I don't know if it wants to infect her.
That's true.
So I'm really excited to see how that's going to go down. And then I think whatever magic they do on Penny is obviously going to go wrong because Penny has no luck when it comes to people trying to fix him.
Can't catch a break.
That is true, poor guy. Yeah. Like, everything seems to go wrong. Any other predictions?
Okay.
Ooh, sounds like a maybe.
So... guys, I'm so sorry. Who's still in Fillory? Not Elliot.
Margo.
Names. They're great. I think Margo, we see all saw him a little bit in the preview, an eye for an eye. If Margo takes that bitch's eye, I'm going to be thrilled. It's all I wanted.
Not tooth for tooth. Teeth.
Teeth for teeth. Teeth. There you go.
Not
multiple.
Just one.
Oh, multiple. She's all alone in that castle with this evil bitch. I really want to see her face her one-on-one. I don't know how it will work, but it would be great if Margo could, you know, get her eye for an eye.
By the end of this season, we are going to see her snatch her proverbial wig, as they say.
Yes.
And that's going to be a good moment.
Mm-hmm. And I think they'll get magic back somehow, and that's how she'll be able to get her eye back. But the question is, like, I know she misses it, but I wonder how much she enjoys rocking the eye patch. So she'll be like, okay, wait, never mind. Now I want it back.
I'm sure as an actor, that must be incredibly annoying.
Because
on set, you can't see nothing.
Right.
So if they're trying to talk to you, and you're like, shut up.
I was just thinking for makeup, though. They only have to make up one eye.
I guess.
In terms of
small
pictures. Like her pretty makeup.
Right.
Anyway. Yes, Brody up the eye for an eye. All right. That about does it for this episode of The Magicians, episode 2. Mm-hmm. Heroes and Morons. Thank you so much for watching. Where can everybody find your lovely selves?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. You can also catch me on the Unproduced Table Read on Popcorn Talk on Friday mornings.
Nice. I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com this Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, I believe. You can catch me on Collider's Movie Talk. If you want to catch my reviews for either The Shy or 12 Soldiers, 12 Strong, I always call it 12 Strong, you can check those out on blackgirlnerds.com. And then, of course, join me and Carrie every Monday, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time here at AfterBuzz as we review Animation Weekly.
There you go. Guys, my name is Ty Matthews. You can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. For once, this is like the only show that I've got going on right now. So if you want to see me, go check out Championship Wrestling from Hollywood on Saturdays, 4 o'clock. Check your local listings. All nice. That good stuff.
My list is a little long. Sunday, Box Office Breakdown, where we talk about what movies came out over the weekend. Monday's Animation Weekly with this lovely lady over there.
Hey.
Marvel TV News. Tuesday is horror movie news. Wednesday is Vikings. And hey. Then this awesome show, which our man in the sky hey. Does as well, too.
Shout out to Steve!
And then I actually won't be here next week because I'm going to be at Sundance. So I'm going to miss all of you, we'll see you the week after. But tune in next week because you're going to have all these awesome people to cover the next episode, episode 3. Again, thank you so much for watching. Say that.
Where can everyone find
Nailed
you?
It.
Yeah, derp. Where can you find me? Because then you can see my posts about my trip. It's going to be at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. Okay. All right, thanks for watching, everybody.
Good night. See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.